Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
You know, there's a lot of things in our life that comes in twos, meaning you need the first part and you need the second part to kind of have the whole. Example might be in sports. Maybe you watch basketball or football. You have the first half and you have the second half. You can't play the second half unless you play the first half, and the first half always looks forward to playing in the second half. But in between, there's a period where you have a timeout or a break, halftime, and you go to the locker room and you try to calculate what happened in the first half, and you look forward to the second half and adjust. You kind of hopefully understand that. That also sometimes comes in jokes. Jokes come in pairs or with first half and second half, and it's set in a way to make you want to know what part two is. Maybe you heard the one about the gentleman who says, "Women used to call me unattractive until they found out how much money I made." Hopefully you're going, okay, huh? What's that? Now they call me unattractive and poor. You see, there's two parts there. Okay, now that happens even like in glue, believe it or not. Have you ever heard of J.B. Well?
Yeah.
Now, if I take just one of these and put it on and try to glue something, it doesn't work. If I take the other part and try to glue, but if I put the two together, okay, they need each other. When I put the two together, that glue becomes solidified, solid, and like a rock. Movies sometimes come in two parts. I don't know if you follow the Avengers series. This last part, last movie really is in two parts. Final War, Infinity War, and Endgames. In fact, I have a friend that I work out with, and he, after Infinity War, would talk to me again and again about, oh, did you remember this clue? Do you remember that clue? And he had Endgames all figured out before it ever came up. I mean, he's addicted to this stuff, and that's okay. That's his thing. Now, let's take that just a little farther. A presentation of a drama, scene one and scene two. Now, in scene one, a theatrical presentation, you know, you get to know the characters in scene one. Usually there is a problem or a difficulty or a crisis. But all the way through scene one, as the story is developed, you get to know the characters. But it always points you to scene two. You get nuances. You get tidbits. You get things that will happen in scene two in the scene one. And you get these little clues that makes you want to go to scene two. And scene one always ends kind of dramatically where, boom, the curtain comes down and you're going, wow. Okay, I'm going to go get a drink, go to the restroom, and I'm coming back because I want to see scene two. And in the split and the break, you're going, wow, how did that all fit together? I wonder what scene two will be about. All of a sudden, the curtain comes up, and you have scene two. And what does scene two always begin with? Pointing you back to scene one. This dramatic event in scene two leads to the solution to the problem that was in scene one. But throughout scene two, you're always pointed back to scene one. Do you remember this? Do you remember that clue? It's almost like a detective story. And, oh yeah, okay, now it plugs in. And when scene one is finished, you move into scene two. In scene two, all of a sudden, it solidifies and it comes together. And you get the story, and at the end of it, hopefully, if it's a good drama, they live happily ever after. Now, if you can imagine that, two parts, they're not independent of each other. They need each other. You can't have scene one without going to scene two. You can't have scene two without scene one. Now I want you to imagine that with the Bible. Hold your Bible up. Everybody, grab that Bible again. With your finger in Matthew, of course. I want you to know, this Bible that you hold is the greatest drama story ever told. It's about the kingdom of God. And it's told in two parts on purpose. Now, the first part is about 3/4 of the way through this book. The first 39 books is called Scene 1, Old Testament. And it begins with all the characters, Adam and Eve and God in the garden. And immediately you get the crisis and the problem with the fall. Do you realize that the first book of the Bible, Genesis, covers 2,500 years of history of the kingdom of God? By the time you get to the end of Genesis, you have the children of Israel in Egypt in slavery. By the time you get to the second book, you have Moses, the really great big prophet who proclaims, "Someone like me." He points you to the future. And he brings the children of Israel out of Egypt, Exodus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, first five books written by Moses. You have how God wants his children to live. Joshua, number 6, leads them into the promised land. In the promised land, they're led by judges. The last judge is Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel. They want a king. So God gives them kings, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, brings it together. By the time you get to Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, the children of Israel have walked away from God. They are enslaved in Babylon. And God, through Esther, who marries a Persian king, make sure that the children of Israel return and they rebuild the temple and the wall. By the end of Ezra, in the 39 books of the Old Testament, you got the end of the Bible. But chronology doesn't end there with the 39 books. You got David, who writes Psalms, the middle. And then Psalms, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Malachi is the end of the Old Testament, scene one. Isaiah to Malachi, Dr. Spomer spoke about last week. And what Dr. Spomer and I are trying to do in this series, Shine in 2001-9, is bring this whole Bible into a concept that you can understand it and hopefully it'll make you want to read more. But scene one is the first 39 books, and throughout scene one, God brings prophets, Isaiah to Malachi. And what do the prophets do? Give you clues, nuances, tidbits about what is coming and get you ready and excited for scene two. Giving you an example. Isaiah, that great major prophet, he says it like this. Let me tell you what's going to happen. A virgin will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel. God is with us. A child will be born, and the government will be upon his shoulders, not yours. You can relax. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Almighty God, Everlasting Father. He says things like this: kings will come to his light, And then he says these words, by his wounds we are healed. Isaiah, Jeremiah, you know what Jeremiah says? Jeremiah says it this way. There's an Old Testament, Old Covenant. Get ready. Day is coming when God is going to give us the New Testament, the New Covenant, the 27 books you call the New Covenant. It won't be like the Old Covenant. In fact, under this covenant, nobody's going to say to another, know the Lord, for the greatest to the least will know him. You see, under the old covenant, it was a prophet that explained the Lord to you. It was a priest who'd walk into that holy of holies with a rope tied around him. That's the old covenant based upon the old Adam. You see, when that priest would go into the Holy of Holies for the sins of the people, he was sinful. What covered his sins? The old covenant was based upon old Adam, broken man. But the new covenant will be based upon a perfect Adam, the second Adam. He will be the perfect priest, the perfect prophet in the order of Melchizedek. And when that curtain was ripped in two, no longer did you need a priest. Anybody could approach God from that point on under the new covenant. You see, under the new covenant, God's people can say, I know him. I know his name. I have a personal relationship with him. Let me tell you what you'll never hear from anybody from another religion. Oh, I have a personal relationship with Muhammad. I have a personal relationship with Mary Baker Eddy. I have a personal relationship with Joseph Smith. That doesn't happen, folks. Only in Christianity. Only in Christianity, because of the new covenant, from the greatest to the least, can say, I know Jesus, that precious name, and we sing about it. That only happens in Christianity, because in the new covenant, Emmanuel, God is with us and in us. So, the dramatic end of Jeremiah to Malachi. Malachi says, now listen, this is how you know the new covenant comes. Elijah will return. Elijah will return, and the hearts of fathers will be turned to their children and children to their fathers. It'll be all about love. And you have this dramatic ending in Malachi, and then a period of 400 years. Old covenant ends. New Testament begins. And for 400 years, you know what God's people should have been doing? Studying the Old Testament, learning about those prophets, and educating themselves so when the Messiah comes, that curtain opens, seeing to, they are ready. 400 years go by. New covenant comes. Let's take a look at Matthew and how he introduces this new covenant. Turn with me now to Matthew 1. Beginning with verse 18, Christmas in July. Old covenant to new covenant. What's the dramatic opening? The birth of Jesus. Elijah will return, Malachi said. Matthew opens up with the birth of Jesus. The curtain opens. This is the thing that makes you wow. But what does Matthew do? He takes us back to scene one. Don't forget scene one. Scene two needs scene one. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, taking you right back to King David who wrote those songs. Do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. How do we get a sinless Jesus? How do we get a new Adam? Through God Himself, through the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Now notice this, that personal name of Jesus. And everyone in this room can say, I know Jesus personally. Not a prophet, not a high priest. I know Jesus. I have a personal relationship with Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. That's what Jesus means. Savior, the rescuer. He saves us. You see, the problem with sin, death, and the power of the devil? What's the answer? The new covenant, the new Adam, Jesus, who saves us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. This is what every prophet, every event in the old scene or the first scene points to. Dr. Spomer and I was trying to bring this together for you. And then look at what he does. He takes us back again. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel. Now you know why that curtain was ripped in two. Nothing separates us from God anymore, not even our sin, because the perfect Adam is the sacrifice of all sacrifices. And now it's personal. Emmanuel, God is with us, which means God is with us. Now I know we're celebrating Christmas in July. I want you to take home two things as we celebrate Christmas in July, as the curtain opens and Dr. Spomer and I take all of you for the next half of this year into the New Covenant and the New Testament. I want you to take this in. The New Testament cannot stand alone. It is built upon the Old Testament. The Old Testament, the Old Covenant, 39 books, cannot stand alone. They point to the New Testament. That which brings them together to solidify both of them into the rock of our salvation is the birth or Jesus Christ himself. The first covenant lasted 4,000 years, you might say. The second covenant, it's 2019 years old. The new covenant. That's why it's 2019, folks. Jesus was born. Amen. And you're a part of it. Amen. Turn to someone right next to you and say, you're a part of the new covenant. That's what I want you to take home. There's a first half and there's a second half. Scene one, scene two. Each and every one of you are part of scene two. And this is what the theme is for this year. Let your light shine so that others may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. This is the second thing I want you to take home. Number one, you're part of the new covenant. Now, you know why Jesus said on the night he was betrayed and he took bread and broke it after stating a blessing, said, this is my body, which is given for you. And then he took that cup and said, this is the blood of the new covenant. In my blood, the perfect Adam, the perfect sacrifice. In the order of Melchizedek, nothing else is needed. The blood of the new covenant in my blood, which is given and shed for you. We can know him so personally. He renews us and strengthens us through his body and his blood. The second thing I want you to take home is now is the words of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. all. Open up the curtain, scene two. Don't look at it. Look at me. Why? Because it's a little more dramatic this way. Listen to the words of John. You understand scene one. I walked you through it quickly. You understand scene two. You understand the new covenant. It is John, the fourth gospel, that brings it together and says, do you get it? Look what John does. He takes us all the way back. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He goes from the Word to He was with God in the beginning. Everything that was made through Him. Nothing that was made without Him. In Him was life. And that life was the light of every man. That light shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not overcome. That's Merry Christmas, by the way. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome. A true light that is the light of everyone has come into our world. Though the world was made through Him, the world did not know Him. He came to His own. And His own people did not receive Him. But to those who received Him and believed in His name, Jesus, He has given the right to become children of God, who know God and can say, Abba, Daddy. And then he goes on to say, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He became one of us. He became personal. He became Emmanuel. No greater Christmas present than that. Now, I'm going to say, not all of God's people said amen. This is what I want you to say. All of God's people said Merry Christmas. You ready? And all of God's people said
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Merry Christ worship. That's what it means. That's every Sunday, folks. Happy, joyful Christ worship, the new covenant. Now you can say, I can say, and all God's people said, Amen.